Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Show to camera, John Ritchie, 94 WIP. All right, let's give you a chance right now to win $1,000 because we do that at the start of the 11 and 12 o'clock hour every day on our show for about a month. So this hour's code word, giving you a chance to win $1,000, is basketball. That's right. The great game of basketball. Text 72881 now. Excuse me. Text basketball to 72881 now for your chance to win. One randomly selected nationwide entrant is going to win $1,000. Message and data rates may apply. For rules or to enter online, make sure you visit entercomcontest.com. Another chance to win $1,000 today at noon in 1 hour. And of course, $1,000 on the line, 11 a.m. and noon, all throughout our show this week. And really for the next month or so as well. All right. To the Swartz-Cullerton guest line we go. If you're injured at work, get justice. Call Swartz-Cullerton at 800-JUSTICE. And our pal, Shiel Kapadia, of course, you can follow him at Shiel Kapadia on Twitter, has reviewed the Eagles tape versus the Jets. What's happening, Shiel?
That wasn't the most entertaining film to get through, but yes, I did watch it. I think we're in store for a very fun stretch with the Eagles over the next 4 or 5 weeks now that we got that game out of the way.
Well, Shiel, let's just start on the defense for the Eagles, because I think one of the things I've wondered, I think a lot of people have wondered, is how much can you, I mean, it was a tremendous performance by the D. How much realistically can you take from that, knowing how bad the Jets offense was? Like, when you saw the film and actually see the Jets players play by play do their thing, how much stock do you put into the Eagles' success from that game for what it means up ahead, or not, because that was the Jets?
I think big picture, you definitely have to take it with a grain of salt. I mean, that offense is putting together some of the worst stretch of offensive football we've seen in a long time. I mean, they're averaging like under 2.5 yards per play in their last two games. So, you know, that is the worst offense you're going to see all year. So you have to keep that in mind. Now, having said that, I think there are individual things that you can be encouraged by. And I think a couple of those, one is, I think Brandon Graham, we saw all three of his sacks came as he was rushing from the interior, which is something we saw a lot, obviously, during the Super Bowl year, maybe not as much last season, but I thought he did a really good job one-on-one against the Jets guards. He came alive a little bit, and I thought Fletcher Cox, I know the numbers weren't there, but I thought just kind of his activity, his disruption was at least a step up from what we had seen in previous weeks. So I think those are some things that are trending in the right direction. But if we're talking next week about, hey, the pass rush wasn't getting home against the Vikings, that also would not totally shock me.
Hey, so Shiel, tell us about the negatives. I mean, like, in terms of Brandon Graham, is this a gimmick that Brandon Graham bumps down to D tackle? Can teams take advantage of us trying to do that to get him those matchups?
Well, I think what happens is it obviously weakens you at defensive end. You know, you would be playing someone like Josh Sweat out there, who I thought Sweat actually, athletically, I thought he moved really well in this game. He had a couple splash plays where you can say, you can see, all right, if you play him for, 12, 15 snaps a game, maybe he can give you something. He certainly hasn't proven that, but, I thought that's probably the best he's looked. So, a lot of the defensive linemen, they would prefer to rush from defensive end, obviously, rather than kind of get in there with all that traffic. But when I think you have Graham and Cox in there, both rushing from the interior, you know, the center is only going to be able to move to one side or the other and double team one of those players. So I think what it does for Jim Schwartz is it sets up most often a one-on-one with Brandon Graham against a guard. And that's a matchup that, you know, if we're looking ahead to this week against the Vikings, they are not strong on the interior. So it wouldn't surprise me if you do that a lot on third down with Brandon Graham and see if he can take advantage of those guards as well.
How much more are we blitzing than what is customary for Jim Schwartz?
This week was really interesting. I mean, you would have thought like he thought he needed some kind of special game plan to beat the Jets. I mean, they were blitzing from all angles against Luke Falk and company. I think it was up around 50%, which is not customary at all for Jim Schwartz. Now, I have sort of a football conspiracy theory here. Let me know what you guys think. But I feel like in some of these games, once you get up a little bit, I know Bill Belichick has done this in the past. You make some moves to kind of change up your tendencies so that future teams look at it and they say, wow, the Eagles' blitz percentage is pretty high this week. Or they watch reps in that game and they say, oh, we have to prepare for this blitz and this blitz and this blitz. It almost felt like that's what the Eagles were doing. I mean, there were 7 minutes left. And they're throwing, you know, slot corner Orlando Scandrick is blitzing off the slot. I'm thinking something is up here. So I don't know that that's necessarily indicative of what we're going to see. But, yeah, they threw all kinds of blitz looks at the Jets.
So is this over-blitzing, the 50% stuff, is that sustainable with the way our cornerbacks are holding up behind it if they're presented with elite receivers that they have to cover?
And a real quarterback.
Yeah.
I don't think so. I don't think you're going to see 50% against some of the really good teams here. I mean, the thing, if you watch some of those blitzes, some of them were executed brilliantly and others were picked up and Lou Falk is holding the ball for like 6 seconds and no one's getting open. And then eventually, you know, or that Orlando Scandrick one, it was like the tight end picked him up. He's stoned. Normally that ball's out and the offense is having a positive play. So I do think it was certainly partially a result of the offense you were facing.
Well, and the play before it where Hassan Ridgeway got the sack. It was Luke Falk holding on to that thing.
Yep.
An awful long time. It was great to see. At the same time, I don't feel like you can apply any of this to any game for the rest of the season.
No, I think their formula and how they want to play, I mean, we have years of evidence of Jim Schwartz in the league, years of evidence with him in the Eagles. We know how he wants to play. We know he wants to rush for, you know, they'll blitz maybe around 20% of the time has kind of been his standard, usually in the bottom third of the NFL. But he has shown sort of, you know, some adjustments this year when the pass rush hasn't gotten home. So I think the key here is what we saw from Brandon Graham, Fletcher Cox, maybe to a lesser degree, guys like Josh Sweat and Derek Barnett in that game. Are those encouraging signs? Are those things that are trending in the right direction that's going to allow Schwartz to play how he wants to play? Or is he going to have to continue to kind of tinker based on how those guys rush?
Shil Kapadia with us here. By the way, Shil, I'm getting even more annoyed at New England now, all these years, getting to face the Jets twice, the Dolphins twice, and the Bills typically bad twice. And that's a whole nother matter. All right, Shil, the Eagles offense. Inefficient in a lot of ways. Tremendous criticism Sunday night and Monday morning here on WIP. Did you think it was as poor as a lot of people, like John thought it was really a not good job by the Eagles offense? Do you agree with that?
I thought it was a very uneven performance. Yeah, I came away from that thinking, man, this isn't how I thought they were going to build off that performance we saw against the Green Bay Packers. And I was kind of going through it drive by drive. And certainly I think part of it was mental, and it was, we're not going to be sort of totally focused in here against a team that's not great. It's a little bit of the human nature. When you look at Darren Sproles had a third down drop, you saw Lane Johnson had that questionable penalty. There was a Jason Peters penalty. All of a sudden they're in second and 30 on that one drive. So there were little things here and there. I actually didn't think this was Carson Wentz's best game. I thought in terms of like accuracy and ball placement, there were some throws that he missed specifically in the first half. So I thought it was kind of a bunch of errors in a bunch of different spots that led to them not executing well. They had the one drive in the third quarter, I think it was a 12-play drive, where all of a sudden you said, okay, this is what it's supposed to look like, where the offensive line was kind of imposing its will. Jason Kelce, Brandon Brooks, they were running the ball a little bit better. But overall, I thought it was definitely an uneven performance.
Does it feel like they try to get a little too fancy with Miles Sanders in the run game? Like they're adding new looks, new plays that are specifically designed for him, and when they could just go bread and butter and have it work, and like Miles Sanders' success is based in, or lack thereof, is based in some small part to the fact that these are some new plays guys are running and they're not always executing. Am I reading much into this?
I know what you're saying. Yeah, I don't know that I would necessarily say new plays, but I know exactly what you're saying. They were running those outside zone run and kind of the pin pull sweep, and they were doing it over and over again. And clearly, the Jets and Greg Williams came into that game saying, "We're going to stop this run. We're not going to let this beat us." And they were, you know, they were stopping that at the line of scrimmage or behind the line of scrimmage. It seemed like every time. And you're right, Sanders. I didn't think this was a game where you look at it and say he could have done more. I mean, he had no shot on those plays. And then they start moving to the inside runs, whether it was the inside zone or they had Jason Peters pulling around and trapping the defensive tackle. And all of a sudden, it's opening up a little bit for them. And Jordan Howard was the guy who was running those runs. So I think I agree with your basic premise there that this was not a matter of Sanders having a bad game. I was kind of surprised that they stuck with some of those perimeter runs as long as they did.
How do you sort out the wide receiver spot outside of Alshon Jeffrey right now? It appears that Tiger personnel, you know, two tight ends and two wide receivers is going to be the way that we go for the foreseeable future. But who impresses you aside from Alshon?
Yeah, it has not been impressive. You know, I was just looking up some numbers today on kind of their wide receivers as a whole, and they really rank near the bottom in terms of production league-wide. It has not been an impressive start for them at all. And I know you lost DeSean Jackson to an injury, but, you know, I think when you look at the way this team is built, you can certainly question it a little bit because they've really counted on sort of these big bodies, these guys who can win on third down and in the red zone and make contested catches, but they really do lack that speed element. And it's, you know, DeSean Jackson's 32 years old. He missed six games the previous 2 years. I don't think you make that move expecting that you're going to have him for all 16 games, but you can really see that when you lose him, this offense really changes. I mean, everything they're doing, it has to be methodical and efficient and string together drives. And when they hit a big play, it's really schemed up, like the one to Miles Sanders. You get him lined up against the linebacker. That's a good job by the coaching staff, but that's not like, you know, these other teams you look at, and it's a fast guy running by the defense. You know, I hate to make it that simple, but that's what it is with some of these other offenses in the NFL, and the Eagles just really don't have that element. So I don't know if that's a roster construction thing, if that's a Doug Peterson, how he wants to play type of thing, but I think it's certainly a factor here as you look at them going up against some pretty good defenses in the next 4 or 5 weeks.
Wow. Sheil Kapadia with us. Sheil, let's talk roster for a moment here. So, maybe, you know, trade deadline coming up in a few weeks, probably Howie makes a move, but probably only one. I mean, it just seems to be the way it goes. If Howie can only make one move, wide receiver to replace DeSean, D-tackle, cornerback, offensive guard to replace, say, Amalo, pass rusher, what's the one spot you think is most important for him to target to bolster this squad?
I think I would probably lean towards adding some speed at wide receiver. And I don't know that they're going to do that, but, you know, I just mentioned DeSean Jackson, you know, is older and has a bit of an injury history. And if you can get someone to give you, I don't know what the number is, 70% of his production and his speed in the event that he goes down, I think that would be really important. I mean, when we look at the teams last year that went to the NFC and AFC championship games, it was all about who are the most efficient passing offenses. You know, that can just make up for so much in the NFL, so many issues elsewhere on the roster, whether it's defense or other areas. And so I think the smart teams in the NFL are saying that's the area where we need to invest. We need to make sure we have as close to an unstoppable passing game as possible. And I think that is the kind of move that maybe I would look at if I were Howie Roseman.
Sheil, do you think they beat Minnesota?
I haven't dug into it yet. I'm leaning towards yes, Joe, but, you know, I go on with Ike and John tomorrow, and that's my first prediction of the week. So I don't want to, you know, I don't want to start a battle between the two shows here and give you my official prediction early.
Glad to hear we're second fiddle, Sheil.
Ouch, man. Ouch.
Hey, Sheil, great stuff, man. As always, of course, follow Sheil at Sheil Kapati on Twitter. Just does a sensational job. Thank you, Sheil.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
All right, there
Thank
he is. Hey,
Sheil.
Coming up, shifting Super Bowl odds. What two wins in a row have done for the Eagles Super Bowl odds? We'll address that next. We'll rock the calls as well. Joe to Cameron, John Ritchie on WIP.
I'm losing weight on Nutrisystem, and I can tell it's really working because everyone I see is asking me how I've done this. I'm getting so many compliments and congratulations, including from my doctor. And I'm talking to him about the possibility of him starting Nutrisystem now. The bottom line is, Nutrisystem flat out works great, and if you want to feel great and look outstanding too, you can join me and get started today with Nutrisystem. After a few weeks on the program, I bet you'll be getting compliments too. Nutrisystem offers the foods that you love, and they taste great. Pizza, burgers, chicken parm, even ice cream. Their meals are perfectly balanced to put your body in fat-burning mode. Go to Nutrisystem.com/men right now. Click on the radio icon on the top right-hand corner of the page and use the promo code Richie. That's R-I-T-C-H-I-E to get $50 off plus a week of protein-packed shakes for free. Do not put this off any longer. Go to Nutrisystem.com/men right now. Click on the radio icon on the top right-hand corner and use the promo code R-I-T-C-H-I-E to get started. Results vary. Offer restrictions apply. See website for details.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly.